What is the church? What is the church? Why does it exist? Many people, from in this room to family and friends of yours, have unfortunately had very bad church experiences, haven't they? I mean, get real. There's so much about the church that we all have to learn about. God is doing something in and through the church that only the church can do and be, unlike anything else in the world. It's not just an institution where we come together on Sunday mornings and have a service. Absolutely part of it. There's so much more. The series that we're going to be, if you will, we're kicking off today, For the Life of the World, it is a series, it's about 7 weeks. We're going to take some time and really, really unpack what is the purpose of our salvation. Why does the Bible invite us over and over and over again to surrender to the cross of Christ? Why is it that he gathered a group of followers and then sent them out to go and be? We talk about, if you've been here with me anytime, being light in the darkness. And how can we do that? And so this series is going to, I think, flesh it out in very powerful, very practical ways. If you're part of a Bible study small group, great. Enjoy it. I hope you're blessed from it. It's going to be different. It's going to challenge your thinking, but that's good. We need that. We forget sometimes that to learn anything means you have to usually unlearn things first. We have to be open to change. Following Jesus is a lifetime, an eternity of change. We're unlearning so we can learn, so we can become what God imagines us becoming. And so I share that with you just to say, before we get started, I love this church. I'm so grateful to be a part of this church. There's so many different people that I've been able to connect with in this church family that we like pushing each other's buttons, if you will. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, Dorothy. But we really have a good time. And I hope you have a good time. I hope you learn. I hope you grow. I hope you have connected with one another. But if you haven't, then this study would be a great time to jump into a small group. If the Lord puts it on your heart, you have the sign-ups in your bulletin, please just take a risk. 7 weeks. It's not forever. It's 7 weeks. Try it. See what the Lord does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for every person in this room. You know where each one of us is. The struggles we have faced, the fears we have, even though you say fear not, the challenges we're facing, the loss of loved ones. Still pretty close. Some of us don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But may we remember who holds it all together. And that is you. Take this word, bless it, anoint it, fill us up so that we may be different people. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe, and the feet to follow wherever you lead. We pray this in your Son's incredibly awesome name. Amen. Two texts today, one from the great book of Psalms, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Second text from 1 Peter 17. This can be a very confusing text, and I hope We'll be able to work that out over the next several weeks. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. This is the word of the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean? To that all is the Lord's and we are foreigners. How does that work? How do we make sense of that? I'm going to ask you to write something down somewhere. This is just because it came up in a conversation when we were talking about this idea this past week. In fact, even was brought up again this morning. Ephesians, you don't even have to figure out how to spell that. Just E-P-H, period. Trust me. E-P-H, period. Find it in your Bible. It's in the New Testament, towards the back. Chapter 3. So you do a little 3, colon, 2020. Ephesians 3:20. Something that this morning I'm like, yeah, that we need to hear that. That we have our citizenship in heaven. That, in other words, there's this, we are God's. We are God, His, okay? We are His people. And where He is heaven, His kingdom. And so wherever we go with His image-bearing mark upon us. That when people see us, we reflect Him, they see Him. Now sometimes we're really good at it. Sometimes we're not so good at it. But we need to remember this is not our home. And yet, God loves all of His creation. There's a reason that it says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All who live in it. Everything. That's one of the reasons, by the way, you don't have to give a blessing over any food when you eat. Hold back. It's already blessed. It's all God's. Now, absolutely give thanks, but it's kind of a moot prayer. It's already blessed. But give thanks. Everything is God's. And God loves everyone. Scripture talks about with Jesus in Matthew that he makes the rain go on the good and the evil. That it's not about how good you are based on your circumstances, based on how much you have in your bank account. If anyone has lived long enough to see ups and downs in economy, you go, oh, is God not happy with me? It's going to happen. The storms are going to come. So where do we go with that? Where do we turn with that? What do the scriptures say about that? And so I ask you, are you living like all is the Lord's? How do you use your everyday, ordinary life, your comings and goings? How do people know who our God is? Not just by you, by the way, but by our community, our cadre of followers of Jesus. The church is to be the church. When we're together, we can do it. We can shine brighter when we come together. Absolutely, God uses us individually, but there is such a corporate ethos in the church that it's so much more again than a service, even though that's important. Don't hear me when I say it's not important. It's absolutely critical for our relationship with the Lord, but the world knows Him by us, by our lives. How we live, how we treat others, how we care for others, how we pray for others, how we sacrifice for others. Heard of a young lady. She was in a third grade Sunday school class up in Buncombe County, North Carolina. And grew up third grade. It was the teacher, and then there was this assistant. She thought it was like assistant leader for as long as she could remember. She said that her parents went to that same Sunday school class, and that lady was her Sunday school teacher too. So now she's a little bit older, in her 20s, and she finds out, she looks back, she had Down syndrome. She ended up living to be 50 years old, which is pretty long life for that challenge. 50 years old. Said the church was packed, and not once did anyone mention her disability, her challenge. in her simple and yet beautiful way, she showed how the church is different. How who we are and how we treat one another doesn't matter. That as we come and go, God uses our humble everyday works, our simple acts of sacrifice to bless and care and bring restoration in this world. Don't underestimate how God uses you and how he uses you every day. Don't underestimate how God can do so much more than what we think we can do on our own. Not what I prepared here, this next part, but we were at the, every few months we get together, as if you will, church leaders in our denomination from the whole state of Florida. Pastor George and one of our elders, Paula Lewis, and I went to it Friday and Saturday, and it was a real, it was a good experience, nice, encouraging time. At the closing prayer, one of the people asked to pray that's just, they bring up, they just ask someone randomly. Her prayer was, Lord, help us get rid of our self-reliance. And I went, oh, no, I don't have that. I'm already self-reliant on my non-having self-reliance. You get what I'm saying? Not good. I went, ooh. The Christian life is impossible. Not hard, not difficult, impossible without the grace of God. The changes that God wants to do in us is impossible without his amazing work. And so you may push back on that. And I totally get that. I respect, I do. There's this one section, though, in the scriptures Jesus taught, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. You can't rationally live what he talks about. You can't practically live that out. As a community, you can live it out, but not individually. And again, we need one another, and all is his. And yet, we're foreigners. We're strangers in a strange land. Dare I say, exile. The church is an exile. Now, what does that mean? I wish I would have brought it up, didn't think about it. One of our Bible studies that's going to be starting again this next week, they, because their small group leader was like, this is really good, but I don't know if we're going to get it in like one shot here, this first part about being an exile and what that means. And so we talked about some ideas, and she ran with it. And she made everyone like a passport, and it says heaven, that we're citizens in heaven. And I went, that works, absolutely. But how does the world know that we just have passports, we're getting out of here? I don't know if that really translates for a lot of people. Don't wait. There's been three typical approaches, that most churches have had when it comes to the world. The great challenge that we find ourselves is this, how to be in the world, but not of the world. How to be in the world, how to still be active, helpful, caring, productive in the world, but not live like the world. There's been three types of approaches typically that most churches and most traditions have had. I give you the three easy words here, and then I give you in the parentheses the kind of the official words, right? Hide. We hide from the world. We kind of bunker, fortification. We kind of just protect ourselves. World's out there. It's evil. We're going to stay in here. We're going to hide. Let's not go out to the bad place. Let's stay in the good place, safe place. Safety is huge here, okay? And there's nothing wrong with wanting safety, but the reality is, the Coast Guard motto is, we have to go out, we don't have to come back in. No one builds a boat to keep it in the dock. God did not rescue us so we would just stay in a safety area. God rescued us so we can go out and rescue others. And that's big. And again, impossible without God. So we typically have a hide kind of mindset or a fight mindset. It's a us versus them. They're evil. We're gonna change it. It's more than just activism. I'm all about activism, social justice, absolutely. But it's so much more than that. I mean, it is really like it's a fight. And it's again, it's a us versus them. They got to go down or I go down. And this is how wars have been fought. The third typical approach is the blend or the accommodation. We just go with the flow. We just kind of, you know, hey, how you doing? Okay. And we just, everything, is, we don't want to judge, which is loving people doesn't mean you let anything happen, right? That if you've ever been a parent, grandparent, uncle, or aunt, hopefully you've learned that just letting them do whatever they think they want to do isn't okay. Okay? I mean, one of my kids wanted to run out in traffic. I'm like, what do you, get over here. No, we're not doing, but I like running. Okay, run over anyway. But I'm just saying we can't do that, right? So where are you? Are you using or have you typically used one of these three? The challenge is, yeah, we typically have. But the reality is, I think God's word gives us a little more insight. I bring to you another text. This is from Jeremiah 29. It says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Now, as people, God's people are in exile. And he says, this is what I want you to do. When you're in exile, I want you to build houses. I want you to marry. I want you to make kids and make lots of them, okay? Enjoy life. Be a part of a community. Live like my people. And also seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Seek the welfare of the city into which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. As we seek the welfare of our city, as a church, as a community, surrendering to the cross of Christ, as we seek the good that needs to be done in the world, and we bless the city, we can trust the Lord's going to bless us too. We don't have to worry about that. But we know that if God's people were in exile before, and this was a huge command, and dare I say, bold challenge, because they were living in a foreign land. They didn't have the rules and the laws on their side. They were under even oppression. And yet, they were told it was going to take about 70 years before things would change. What if you're in your 50s and you hear it might be 70 more years? That doesn't look good for you, does it? What would it look like to live in such a way where it's not about you, but you're investing in the next generation? So what's really interesting, you'll hear more about this in the Bible studies. What's really interesting, though, is Jeremiah takes this deed for this land. He buys this land, takes this deed, and buries it. He doesn't bury it for him later. It's for the next generation. He knows he's not going to see them get out of exile. But he doesn't want them to forget. God is not going to forget them. He's faithful. He's going to rescue. And in that, that community is going to prosper as they continue to walk in obedience. So I ask you this question. What kind of community do we have to become to help the city prosper? What kind of community do we have to become? How does God need to break our hearts, reform them, shape them, mold them, so he can pour his amazing grace in it, so we can then be prepared to go. See, if salvation is just about us and us getting a ticket into heaven, I think we're really missing it. I think we're selling God short. There's numerous scriptures. Check out the whole book of Hebrews, that God is reconciling the whole world to himself. He's restoring the world. For the life of the world, I believe, is why he gives us this rescue, this relationship with the Lord. It is personal, and yet it's communal. There's this community that comes together. If you've ever had an opportunity to be a part of a healthy community, you know, yeah, there's nothing else like it. It's pretty special. So, what has to happen in your heart? What has to happen in my heart How do we, what has to happen for we really believe God is who he says he is? What has to happen in us so that we really trust and go where he says go? There are many times the Lord has to break us in order to use us. And I know this is not a hard, not an easy thing to hear. It's a hard thing. But may God give us the courage to follow, to be. There's a whole community that needs to know the rescue that our God gives. And maybe you need it too. Maybe it's been a long time since you and God really talked. You've been coming on Sundays and you just feel there's this great giant chasm. And I want to encourage you to take these next several moments with us. Just talk to him. There's these two wonderful words I was reminded of this weekend in the scriptures. You can write this one down later too. Ready? But God. But God heard their cry. But God rescued. But God sent his one and only son. But God. As long as we understand those two words, and as long as we call out to those two words, we're in good hands. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know where our hearts are. You know where our brokenness is. You know the challenge that we find ourselves in. The impossibility of following you outside of your grace. Help us, Lord. Help us become the community. Help me and the other leaders in the church organize and create opportunities for people to become a flourishing church. But Lord, let us not rely on ourselves for this. You reminded me this morning through an amazing wise woman that what you call us to is not possible by our own strength. Only possible because of your grace and your goodness. And so, Lord, we humbly come before you and we ask, take our hearts, take our lives, renew us, fill us, make us yours. Again, we lift up all those who are hurting, who are broken. We pray for all those affected by the hurricane. We pray that you would somehow, some way, bring your provision of Puerto Rico, the Keys, Houston, Louisiana. Just move. May people cry out to you. And may they remember the words, but God. We are citizens with you, Lord. But we are not citizens kept away, but we are citizens sent out. We are not here by accident. And for those hearts right now that need a breaking, if it's mine, break mine. Wherever we're at, we trust you with it. Help us to know and to believe that you are good. You are faithful. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.